As I strode toward the house, Zach called to me from the truck.
Want to ride to town with me? I've got to get a new radiator hose before the store closes.
I'm going to talk to August, I said. He slammed down the hood and smeared his hands front and back on his pants.
August is with Sugar Girl in the parlor. She showed up crying, something about Otis using their life savings to buy a secondhand fishing boat.
But I've got something really important to talk to her about.
You'll have to get in line, he said. Come on, we'll be back before Sugar Girl leaves.
I hesitated, then gave in. All right. The auto parts store sat two doors down from the movie theater. As Zach pulled into a parking space in front, I saw them. Five or six white men standing by the ticket booth. They milled around, casting quick glances up and down the sidewalk like they were waiting for someone, all of them so nicely dressed, wearing ties with clips on them like store clerks and bank tellers. One man held what looked like the handle from a shovel. Zach turned off the honey wagon and stared at them through the windshield. A dog, an old beagle with an age white face, wandered out of the auto parts store and began to sniff at something on the sidewalk. Zach drummed his fingers on the steering wheel and sighed. And I suddenly realized it was Friday, and they were out here waiting for Jack Palance and the colored woman. We sat there a minute not speaking, the sounds in the truck magnified. The squeak in a spring under the seat, the tapping of Zach's fingers, the sharp way I was breathing. Then one of the men yelled, causing me to jump and bang my knee against the glove compartment. He gazed across the street and shouted, "What are you staring at over there?" Zach and I both turned and looked through the back window. Three teenaged colored boys stood on the sidewalk, drinking RC Colas out of the bottle and glaring over at the men. "Let's come back another time," I said.
"It'll be okay," Zach said. "You wait here."
No. It won't be okay, I thought. As he slid out of the honey wagon, I heard the boys call Zach's name. They crossed the street and came over to the honey wagon. Glancing through the window at me, they gave Zach a few playful shoves. One of them waved his hand in front of his face like he'd bitten into a Mexican pepper. "Who you got in there?" he said. I looked at them, tried to smile, but my mind was on the men, who I could see were watching us. The boys saw it too, and one of them, who I would later find out was named Jackson, said real loud, "You gotta be dumb as dirt to believe Jack Palance is coming to Tiburon." And all of them laughed, even Zach. The man holding the shovel handle walked right up to the truck bumper and stared at the boys with that same half-smile, half-sneer I had seen on T-Ray's face a thousand times. The sort of look conjured from power without the benefit of love. And he yelled, "What did you say, boy?" The murmuring noise on the street fell away. The beagle dropped his ears and slunk off under a parked car. I saw Jackson bite down, causing a tiny ripple across his jaw. I saw him raise his RC Cola bottle over his head and throw it. I closed my eyes as it flew out of his hand. When I opened them again, there was glass sprayed across the sidewalk. The man with the shovel handle had dropped it and had his hand over his nose. Blood seeped through his fingers. He turned back to the other men.
"That nigger busted open my nose," he said, sounding more surprised than anything.
He looked around, confused for a moment, then headed into a nearby store, dripping blood all the way. Zach and the boys stood by the truck door in a little knot, stuck to the pavement, while the rest of the men walked over and formed a half circle around them, hemming them in against the truck.
"Which one of you threw that bottle?"
one man said. The boys didn't open their mouths.
"Bunch of cowards," another man said.
This one had picked up the shovel handle from the sidewalk and was jabbing it in the air in the boys' direction every time they moved.
"Just tell us which one of you it was, and the other three can go," he said. Nothing.
People had started coming out of the stores, gathering in clumps. I stared at the back of Zach's head. I felt like my heart had a little ledge on it, and I was standing there leaning as far out as I could, waiting to see what Zach would do.
I knew that being a snitch was considered the lowest sort of person, but I wanted him to point his finger and say, "The one over there, he did it." That way he could climb back into the honey truck and we would be on our way.
Come on, Zach.
He turned his head and looked at me from the corner of his eye. Then he shrugged his shoulder slightly, and I knew it was over and done. He would never open his mouth. He was trying to say to me, "I'm sorry, but these are my friends." He chose to stand there and be one of them.